Item number 13, 2014 adopted budget amendment 1A040 from the comptroller submitting an informational report regarding a study of the current request for proposals process, in-house versus outsourcing, pros and cons, employee pension ramifications, unfunded liabilities, and taxpayer impacts in relation to the Milwaukee County Transit System. This item was also considered by the Committee on Transportation, Public Works, and Transit on March 5th, 2014. That committee received and placed this item on file by a vote of 6-0. It is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Mansky.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the 2014 adopted budget had included in it language directing the county comptroller to form a work group to identify and report on the advantages and challenges of insourcing versus outsourcing transit management and operations. Work group consisted of myself, Molly Paul, the director, Brian Dranzik from DOT, Office for Persons with Disabilities, Don Natsky was in it until he retired from the county. Transit Services Advisory Committee, there were two people from that. County Board designee, Supervisor Lipscomb was appointed to that. Corporation Council, Paul Bargren, and a representative from Sewer PAC was also in there. And that was all part of the direction from that. When our group met, we decided that with the time frame in order to get the report back, we decided to keep to really two categories, an outsourced and an insourced type category. Outsourced meaning completely outsourced with no real county control over the items. Insourced meaning both the employees and the management would be county personnel. We talked about alternatives, and we have a few comments on that at the end, such as that you could have a mixture of an outsourced management, insourced employees, or the other way, insourced management and outsourced employees. We talked about that, but mainly what we wanted to do is deal with the categories. And so we defined it into a couple of different categories.
Can I just jump in and ask you sort of a question? What would you consider what we do now?
I would say outsource
you
right now.
Call it outsource.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that we're using the same terms.
Right. So for outsource, the way we looked at it, we didn't look at any new changes as if anybody else had won the proposal. The way we looked at it was just outsource the way we are now with MTS being there. So our focus, and we will use the terms MTS in here when we talk about the outsourcing piece. And from the insourcing piece, it was as if everything would come within the county then. To try to emphasize issues that may be of more importance, we would, instead of numbering those items, we would put a star or an asterisk next to those items, and you'll see those marked that way with the little diamond shape next to it. The first thing we dealt with was on the personnel and some of the issues that we have. From the insource, we would have to work to hire all of the people into the county, define all of their positions, job classifications, salary ranges, putting them in through civil service and that. In regards to the unions, requirements under FTA rules that you have to accept the contract that you have currently with the unions. So the county would have to accept that contract and come in. I believe their contracts expire on March 31st, 2015. There are currently two contracts, one with ATU, and there are approximately 900 members with that. And then there is a office union with approximately 30 members. There are an additional 70 non-represented FTEs for transit. We talked about some of the concerns would be if you moved away from the current contract, what issues you would have, what penalties you would assume if you wanted to move away from their contract. Pretty much the conclusion was is that you would have to keep the contract that is there that exists with them. Moving on from there, we talked about the benefits, keeping a segregation probably for pension benefits between what the county offers and what is currently offered to the MTS group. They also have an other post-employment benefits plan for their retired employees, so they have post-retirement health care. They are currently, as different from Milwaukee County, they are currently funding that plan, so they are actually, like a pension plan, they are putting monies aside for the long term for that plan. Grievance issues, how that would be handled, work rules, we would have to see if that's covered by the contract or that. Federal funding, both federal funding and related to state funding, the county is the currently one that for any federal or state funding, you have to contract directly with a government. So federal and state funding does come straight through Milwaukee County. So there is no difference under either scenario because Milwaukee County is the currently one receiving all federal and state sources of money. So that would not change under either scenario. So you have to do directly with Milwaukee County. So all operating grants, capital grants, other types of things come through Milwaukee County for those. So there really isn't any change for both the federal funding and the state funding. Farebox revenue, we don't see a lot of changes in that. However, the banking relationships would have to change if you did bring that in-house. To those types of things. Tax levy need would continue both under outsourcing and insourcing. We've mentioned that there would probably be some transition costs that you would have to incur as you bring all of this in because you'd have to bring them under your human resources system, payroll systems. If you transition them to our systems, I mean, those are the types of decisions that you would have to go through of whether because they are currently, just to let you know, they currently are not on any of the county systems. They have their own financial system, their own payroll system, benefit system. You know, they're covered by a separate pension system also. So all of those types of things are separate systems. They have a separate system, I believe, that they maintain all of their vehicles under and how they maintain that information. And the question then would become, you know, whether we want to transition them to our systems or not. And as a result, there might be some transition for that. Oversight, what type of oversight would need to be needed, you know, of them being either here or under an in-source proposal. Procurement, they have their own procurement system right now. And so the question would be is whether you there are a lot of specific rules regarding procurement under FTA rules, and if you want to transition them to our procurement or keep them separately. So they have their own procurement team that's there. Budgeting, falling full immersion under the county budgeting process with the line item. Sometimes they make purchases or need to get certain things. They don't come back to us, and they kind of have ability with their entire budget to spend. They may ask for so much within salaries, so much within commodities or services, but if they need something, they will go out and acquire that and just let us know that, you know, it may create a deficit for them. But, for example, a department within Milwaukee County, if, for example, a department doesn't have enough commodity money, then they can't buy fuel and they'll be stopped from it and they have to come back for a fund transfer. So if they have full immersion under our budgeting system and if they needed additional fuel or whatever, they could create a call an emergency and do that. But generally, they would have to increase their categories and they'd have to come back for fund transfers for each of the categories. Policies, other types of things, we don't see any real change in there. Systems, I've already talked about. Administration. As I said, they have their own payroll, human resource, accounting, personnel, and the question, and they have people filling all of those positions, same for information management, risk services, and contracts. And so the question would be whether we transition all of those people or not to an in-service, to an in-source type category. Similar to for marketing and then paratransit, we talked about the number of people that are staffed in each of those positions, also maintenance. Again, transition issues and the decisions that we'd have to do. Outstanding open questions, legal issues. We talked about the status of the paratransit contracts. Could contracts be assigned from MTS over to Milwaukee County? Would we need new contracts? Would there be any penalties in regards to contracts? Similar questions for insurance similar questions just going back to the employees about the pension systems, MC employees, the union, the impact of Act 10 versus the federal collective bargaining. And then we talked about the other options, which I talked about at the beginning, of, you know, various options for a mixture of in-source and outsource. And then we also talked about Regional Transit Authority, which had been talked about previously. There is no Regional Transit Authority now. It's not being talked about now, but we wanted to at least mention that within the document. So we wanted to just put together these types of questions for you so you have an idea of some of the issues with insourcing versus outsourcing, which we believed was the goal of the request of the budget.
Okay. One sort of overarching question I had is that I've looked at some data, and of the 25 largest transit operators in the state of Wisconsin, things that I have show that 7 of them have those employees as private employees, and the other 18 are all public employees. And then when you look nationwide, when you look at metropolitan areas similar in population in the Milwaukee area, the 23 ranging from Denver, which has a population of 2.37 million, to Buffalo, which has a population of 940,000, and Milwaukee somewhere in the middle at 1.38, that Milwaukee is the only one that defines those employees as private employees. There seems to be this idea that having the transit workers be public employees is just, we don't even want to face that prospect. Why are all, did the committee look at why all these other local units of government have them as public employees, and somehow our system, the outlier, is the one that should be the one to follow?
We really didn't look at that issue. What we were looking at is what are the types of issues of being in one source or another. And so the biggest issue we found with that was really the transition process that you would have to go to from an outsource to an in-source and the issues that go along with that. We didn't really give a judgment as to the preference of one area for another, just the issues that you have between the two items. So what we talked about is we talked to one of the members about and because our focus was more or less on the transition type issues and the things that you have, we talked about is if there were examples of, you know, transitions from an outsource to an insource that we could maybe follow as a model. But we didn't really look at the issue of, you know, is one group better or another group better.
That might be useful. I mean, I would think, right, if we're going to choose one way or the other, it might be useful if this group of, that you have would have some sort of determination of which you think is better, right? I mean that wasn't your task, but
yeah.
I'm just sort of looking at it from the outside. If you're going to make recommendations, that might be helpful. But do you have some questions, Supervisor Lipscomb?
Probably more or less comments, but they might lead to some questions. So we had this in transportation the other day. You know, I think the work group's report was good in sort of listing out all the issues that you need to look at. I think, based on the comments of some members, people may have been overwhelmed by all the things that we need to to think about, but they're really all the issues that we have to think about no matter what. So if you're going to be comfortable with a contract, you're going to have to be comfortable with how those issues were resolved in a contract with a new provider. But in part of that discussion, I raised the issue of, and I'm sorry, so the report ends that second to last row is other options, and it has two different scenarios, and one is, I think it says acquire MTS. Well, so then I asked about the fact that I had heard that MTS's IRS designation, their nonprofit status, was based on the fact that they are determined to be an instrumentality of the municipality, and that in many respects we've referred to them as being a contractor or outsource, but they really aren't. The history of how we've operated with them for four decades, the fact that they essentially mirror us in many respects, follow our ordinances. We set fares, approve route changes. They call us up and we transfer money, essentially cash flow. For them, that is not how we treat any other other contractors. Don't have that relationship with us. So, the facts don't support the fact that they are a contractor. In fact, that's exactly what the IRS said. They said, the when we look at all the facts, the only thing against seeing you as an instrumentality is the fact that you're referred to as a contractor. But because of the way you're treated, because of all other aspects of how the relationship is, we disregard that. We just think it's the words you use, but it's not really the relationship. It's kind of, I'd compare it to the way, you can call somebody, you can try and treat somebody like they're a contractor, but if you really treat them as an employee, they become your employee. It's the same. Similar analogy. So, and I think that's supported by Corp Counsel's letter the other day, and obviously he can speak for himself, but I'll just read the one citation from it, if I can find it. Mr. Bargan says, the documents indicate that should the county and MTS agree to do so, acquisition of control of MTS by the county would be a relatively simple manner, in my view. It appears to be done outright. This is from Corporation Counsel Bargren on March 11th, so subsequent to transportation meeting. So I just think, some of the comments that were made after transportation made it sound like this was a Herculean task. And I think that the work group, while it may have been sort of an asterisk at the end, may have pointed us to a more novel approach that is much simpler than the idea of the full scale making them all county employees in the department versus they are pseudo public employees. They're in an agency that we fully control. I just offer that up. I think there's a way forward that is much simpler than what we've previously been making out to be. I think the four decades of what the relationship has been support that really is the true nature of it, and the fact that that the narrative has sort of changed in recent years, that this exec wants to talk about them like they just work for them. And aren't really that's not supported by the facts and the history here, and how we've engaged. So,
is there anybody from the county executive's office here that could provide us their thoughts or comments on this report? I guess not. Supervisor Jerzyk.
Well, I also was in transportation, and I asked two questions. One of the questions was, would there be arbitration rights for transit workers if they became county employees? And that's the letter that Corp Counsel gave, I believe, same letter that you were referring to, March 11th. The answer is yes, they do obtain mandatory arbitration rights, which my understanding of what I wanted to do was ask the question, why was it set up in the 70s the way it was set up? And my understanding is one of the reasons was because of the mandatory arbitration rights. And even under Act 10, because of the federal requirements, transit workers continue to have a right to a union along with our fire and sheriff.
Well, it wasn't because of Act 10. The Republicans, when they passed Act 10, didn't contemplate this, so they had to go back and fix it.
Well, I mean, I won't get into the political stuff.
Well, it's not political. They just rushed through something that didn't, you know, that they didn't know what the ramifications were, and this was one of them. You know, when you vote on something at 1:30 in the morning, this is the kind of stuff that happens.
Well, the long short of it is county transit companies have arbitration rights if they're in-house. Well, let's get Paul Bargan up here and ask him the questions.
They don't obtain it by virtue of, Mr. Chairman, I don't believe they obtain it by virtue of being municipal transit employees. They have that by virtue of receiving federal transportation aids. So
That's federal laws. We're talking about Wisconsin laws.
Mr. Bargan?
Right, Chairman and Supervisors. Start with the state statutes. I believe it was actually Act 32, as you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, that went back and fixed up some things from Act 10. There's now a provision in Wisconsin statutes that says municipal transit employees do have the traditional mandatory arbitration right on their contract and on work rules issues in the meantime, too. So if there are municipal employees who are transit employees, as defined in the statutes and by the federal government, and those employees have a union and they can't reach agreement with their employer on their collective bargaining agreement, then that can be submitted to mandatory arbitration. They don't have the right to strike as a result, but they do have the right to mandatory arbitration. Under the current setup with MTS, their bargaining agreement with MTS controls that does have some arbitration clauses in.
Well, the question, I guess, is if it remains as it is now without a change, does that transit union have the mandatory arbitration rights under Wisconsin law, not pursuant to their agreement?
No, they would not. They would not be municipal transit employees.
That's a significant difference, in my opinion. So, and the other question I asked, I was very interested in the option one, or even possibly option two, but I had asked Mr. Dranzik to indicate whether if you move to option one, which would be to only move management positions in county government, would we then be relieved from having to do the RFP process for management? And at the Transportation Committee, he did not know the answer to that question. I'm wondering if Mr. Dranzik now has an answer to that.
Mr. Dranzik?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. We've asked that question of the FTA. We're still awaiting an answer. I think, you know, the Supervisor and I had a discussion about that, about what that really means for the business relationship of MTS going forward, and then who are the management group if you take the managers and put them under the department, and then you just have the group of employees, who is who are they working for as a corporate entity or as a company? So there's that issue, but we are asking the question of whether or not that still creates a legal standing of a third party, and whether or not that then requires us to go out and do a
an RFP process, a competitive process. So it's a bit of a complicated question.
I don't have a copy of this letter, and I don't know if it just went. Are you on the Transportation Committee?
Do you want to see it?
Yeah, did it go just to the Transportation Committee? Do you know who this letter went to? I don't know if I saw it or not.
I think you sent it to everyone.
I addressed it to the Transportation Committee and asked that I go on Legistar, but that means I guess
Mr.
if you're not.
Chair,
I don't know how to get to Legistar.
Okay. No. Well, the request came from the committee, so I responded to the committee. So.
Okay, thank you.
I went back, and in fairness to Mr. Dranzik, I did have a discussion with him after Transportation. He told me that he likely was not going to get an answer by Finance Committee. So, you know, he made that statement. Apparently he did attempt to get that information, and he got the exact answer he was afraid he was going to get, which is basically they haven't responded yet, and it may take some time to get that answer. As I understand, that's the way it is dealing with FTA. There are a lot of levels there, and you don't always get direct answers. Now, I did ask and got the amendment that was in the budget, and I'm looking at that, and basically it directs the controller to do the review by March, which he did and which we received. And then it states, unless the county board approves a contract for outside management operation of the transit system by April 1st, the policy of the Milwaukee County is to bring management and operation of transit in-house, and it goes on to talk about quite a few things. It seems to me we're being pushed up against a deadline. Now, I believe this is a policy in budget that we could still address. It seems to me that there is a need for some additional time here. First of all, let me ask Mr. Cady, is my understanding of the policy correct that while we adopted this in budget, it is subject to change?
This board could make a change to that policy.
And, we've started down the road of going out, and just so everyone understands, this RFP process we did this time was not typical of the RFP processes we've been doing since the 70s. The only thing we've done previously is to go out for the top management. What, three positions, Mr. Dranzik, or two?
Two.
Two positions. That's the only thing we did RFPs for. This time, we did an RFP of really all of those positions. I think Mr. Mansky described 70 of them, which are, non-union positions. The entire management team, if you will, of the transit system is much more comprehensive, correct? And, there are a lot of questions here. I strongly suggested during Transportation and Public Works Committee that we get a transportation consultant. I think Mr. Dranzik could use that. The board could use it. We could really use someone with some very good expertise in this area. I think, Mr. Chair, you asked a good question. What about comparing all these other systems? Some are government systems. Some are these hybrid-type models that option one might suggest, and some are, just totally outside contracting units. It would be helpful if we had a consultant who had some experience with all these and advised both the administration and the board about this transition while we're doing it. But this April 1 deadline, and I'm not going to make excuses for the county executive, but he's really under the gun right now with perhaps an unrealistic deadline here. That RFP process and then the review process took a heck of a lot more time than perhaps we thought when we were doing budget. And I personally think the review panel did as good a job as they could. I thought we did a fairly thorough job. I thought Representative Staskunas' letter yesterday was a very descriptive letter and spoke for itself. All that being said, we've got this April 1st deadline, and I think it may warrant us taking at least a step back. Now, Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, we could seek to extend the current contract with MTS. In other words, we still have some time before we start bumping up against FTA regulations to get an extension. Is that correct, Mr. Dranzik?
We've asked a question
while we were going through the process before about extension, and the verbal indication was that we've got some time. We'd have maybe up to about a year. We're going back to the FDA and asking that question and for them to further clarify that. But if you start getting past a certain point in time, they start looking at that as a sole source procurement, and that's really where our risk comes in. Now, there may be also a condition of do we have some allowable time or a waiver of that notion if we're in an active RFP, and that's possible, and we're looking into that. So there's a couple different aspects to that. But basically, to your question, we believe that we'd have up to the end of 2015, although we wouldn't want to take that long. I think if, you know, it would be our intent to try to move things along as efficiently as we can.
Okay, and that was my understanding as well. So it looks like there is a possibility of having, hopefully MTS will give us an extension, but an extension could be sought, a consultant could be brought in, we can get some good advice on comparing these different systems, especially given the opinion that bringing transit in-house will then create mandatory arbitration, which, you know, if you go over the history, and I've been around for a long time. I was a teacher, actually walked a picket line in 1975, which started mandatory arbitration. This long history really got us to the point where Act 10 took place. And I'm not going to even get into the politics of this, but a lot of practices started to take place under mandatory arbitration, which really frustrated the private sector, I think, because we basically had in-house employee unions, which did not have the same pressures as outside. That's Pat Jurczyk's comment. It doesn't matter if you agree with it or not, but I think we have a lot of things here to consider, and April 1st is an unrealistic deadline. So I would like to see an amendment to this policy going forward. Give us a realistic time frame. I'd be willing to work on that, but I'd certainly like to hear from the Finance Committee where we think we're going on this. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on this report? Supervisor Lipson?
I guess I want clarification from Corp Counsel, because it keeps being said that they would get the right, they would get this collective bargaining if they became county employees. But they have it now, and in all scenarios would have it under the under 13C. If you are funded with the federal funds, you have those rights whether you are municipal or not. Municipal or not is only that was the Act 32 cleanup, but you have those rights under if you're taking the federal funds, correct?
Chairman, supervisors, transit employees have the right to collective bargaining. They would retain that right to collective bargaining under if they became county employees, but they would add the ability for mandatory arbitration of their collective bargaining agreement.
That's Wisconsin law.
If they became municipal employees, so then the question is whether they are municipal employees. If you are an instrumentality, are you a municipal employee or not?
Well, I think that Chairman and Supervisors, the IRS's determination was for tax purposes, first of all. Mm-hmm. So the IRS allowed, for example, MTS to use the county's tax-exempt purchasing number. They felt that the as an instrumentality, at least for tax purposes, that the MTS would be in the same position as the government in terms of tax returns, so it didn't have to file tax returns. But I don't think that ruling by the IRS on tax issues negates the fact that they're a separate corporation, a separate corporate entity, maybe a subsidiary, maybe some other relationship, but still a separate corporate entity from the county corporation.
And so
I think that their employees right now are private employees, not municipal employees.
Okay. And would that change if we were to assert more direct control of the board.
I suppose,
their board.
I suppose it could, but I think that would
it
be...
It would still be a separate entity.
Yeah, I think the intent, if we went that route, would be to maintain MTS as a separate entity, but answerable to a board of directors that is appointed by the county, perhaps, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions?
I guess I'd like to hear Mr. Chairman from the committee members. I mean, I'm willing to work on a draft of an amendment to this policy that would get us moving forward with bringing in a consultant and looking at an extension with MTS. I'd like to know, though, before anyone spends a lot of time doing that, whether other committee members are interested.
Anybody want to respond? Supervisor Schmidt.
I guess the wild card here, in a sense, is, and I know I don't have to revisit everything that's gone on, but the ball is somewhat still in, or now I would say still in the county executive's court, in that do we want an RFP process or not? This was the administrative committee said, okay, we're back to square one for whatever it is, so that's where we are. And indeed, we had the interest in having an RFP process, and I'd like to know if there's any advancement. I guess that would kind of answer some questions for me before going forward, and the same much more. Is there any commitment? Is there any start? Is there any thing we're going to see from the county executive in the near future as far as whether or not it wants to RFP? Thank you.
Mr. Dranzik
can answer that.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, there's a couple of things that I think need to be stated that I said in transportation as well, and those are the things that are before us, really. And one is the policy path that we're on, which was adopted in the budget. So we've got to work towards the in-housing initiative as it's been adopted. We are interested, I think, in an RFP process, but there's a few other things that need to be known, and that is, we have a contract that expires at the end of the year, and any extension of that contract needs to come back before the board for approval. So I think we'd want to know that if we're going to go down an RFP path, there's some support for that, because given the timing of what happened in the last RFP and the fact that these do take time, these are extensive RFPs, and then some of the things that came out of the review committee and changes that we may need to make to the procurement process, write them into the new RFP so vendors are aware of what's going to happen and what their abilities are and things like that. We need to know that going forward so that we can add that into the process. So from the department standpoint, what we're looking at right now is the policy path that we're on of bringing things in-house, and we'll be talking to the other departments that will be affected by that very shortly.
Well, I mean, I won't be presumptive, everybody, but I think everyone wants to see, again, the best solution possible, because there was some uncertainty that was thrown out. Supervisor Lipscomb had some, Supervisor Mayo had something to say, okay, we want to look at this, and I mean, I'm certainly willing to give this more time, the importance of it. And, I don't think we'd even be here if it wasn't the problems we had in paratransit. I don't think anybody has criticized MTS otherwise or how the system has worked. It's always been a matter of funding. Do we get state funding or not, or do we need to get the quality mitigation? We'd have been in trouble to keep the routes going. So, I'm not so sure looking for someone else's is the way to go. The county executive initiated that because... Well, the headlines, and then we lost this paratransit money because the contracts we didn't get in time. We all know that. So, I don't like to be, if that's the right way to say it, but, to be put under constraint, say we have to have a decision by April 1st when there's some things up in the air yet, I guess I'd be willing to make an extension here with looking at this. I think we need some... Supervisor Cullen brought in some ideas about, employees. My first blush was, well, why should we take on more employees You know, if the transit workers, you know, 900 people have a good system, they have a pension, you know, why should we mess with that? And we saw in other times that Mr. Massey has come in front of us, you know, by adding employees to the museum or some other places, how that can just, you know, make it a real hard mess when you try to meld two systems into one now all of a sudden, and how we're going to do that. So that question alone is worth some time. So, and we're not solving it today, so I'm going to stop talking. But, yes, I would be willing to give some time and to look at it more because this is a very important decision, and we've been politically at this. And, you know, but you know, and part of the problem is, you know, we can be blamed, of course, as usual, but, you know, we're in this very difficult situation. Now, we've seen a couple committees this week, I certainly have, where we have contracts, but we didn't have the information. We're supposed to make these major decisions, but, you know, here's the contract and vote for it. Well, then we have to dig and find out, well, what does it really mean? Procurement, we had questions with MTS, you know, what do you have going there? So, you know, I guess this is the way to look at it, too. Whatever we look at, we need to have the information because if we make the final decision, then we need the information. So that's been said before, but it might take more time than I'm willing to give them. That'd be my summary. Thank you.
Any further discussion? No, Mr. Report? Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I suspect that Supervisor Jerzyk was asking about a consultant to see how for a similar outcome, how that outcome was arrived through transportation professionals. I mean, you spoke of a consultant, but I'm thinking that you're looking at, if we were to in-source, you're looking at, for example, what the chairman had on his list of 25 entities. What entities had a process by which they arrived at complete insourcing? I think that's what you were asking committee members for.
I think we, someone who, first of all, is very familiar with the FDA regulations and who is familiar with different systems and setups. I actually was contacted by a transportation professional who was sympathetic to, you know, what this government is going through with the RFP process, and that person strongly suggested that we get some expertise in here for some good advice. And by the way, you know, we are the policymakers. We can talk about, well, let's see what the county exec does. But we tell the county exec what our policy is. And he is up against a deadline. I want to suggest, I think people are working in good faith here. I know we like to, you know, all be critical and so on, but I do think people are working in good faith. We've had the comptroller follow the budget directive. He set out the study. He brought it to us. We've reviewed it a couple committees now. It's a complicated issue. And then we had some additional questions to ask. My main one was that mandatory arbitration one, and to find out that we are going to be creating a huge new issue if we bring the transit workers in-house. And by the way, I went back to the people who were around in the 70s, there's still some around here, by the way, and asked them the question, why did you set it up the way you did? And one of the main answers that I got was because of Wisconsin going to mandatory arbitration, and they were also very concerned about the fact that you have basically state and federal funding and fees set by county elected officials. And they were very, very insistent that they did not want tax monies going for a for-profit entity. So they created a not-for-profit management system. And that's what they did back in the 70s. And by the way, our MTS has gotten high marks on keeping administrative costs down. Yes. Now, before we go throwing the baby out with the bathwater, I think we better understand, first of all, why they did what they did and what the alternatives are going to be. And I don't have expertise in transportation. Mr. Dranzik's worked in it most of his career, and yet he has pretty much been strictly in Milwaukee County. Mm-hmm. It would be helpful to have someone who has more of a breadth of experience, really understands federal regulations, and can advise us as we move forward on this. I think this is an important decision that we shouldn't make because we've got some artificial deadline. And again, I think people are working in good faith. We've gotten more information. April 1st is coming out. We didn't know the RFP process was going to be reviewed and found to be unreasonable or arbitrary. So we're in a different circumstance now than we passed this budget directive. I'm not saying in any way that what we passed wasn't good policy at the time, but the circumstances have changed, and I think we have got to be reasonable on this and make some very good decisions, because what we will do may have 20, 25 years of repercussions down the road. So I'm just suggesting let's see if we can extend the MTS contract, bring in a consultant, get some good advice, make sure we understand what we're doing. I think we could look at another RFP process, but I really like option one. I'd like to get a lot more information on that option one, which may give us an ability to, you know, to do a little bit of both, basically. So that's all I'm saying, Mr. Chair, and I think this is people are trying to act in good faith here, and I'm not going to be pointing fingers either way. I think we are actually complying with the policy set out in budget, but now it's time to maybe give ourselves a little bit of change of direction here.
Thank you, Supervisor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, am interested in the so-called option one, management in-house, and the rest more or less as is. But actually, I had a very quick question, Mr. Chairman, perhaps for Mr. Bargren. Can we, either as a finance committee or as the county board, extend the contract, the current contract, for 1 year? Do we have the capability?
Bargren?
Chairman and supervisors, if an extension was brought to you, you'd certainly have the ability to approve that extension. If
right.
That's your question.
So if it is brought to us?
By MCDOT.
By
somebody would have to bring it.
So
whether it would be, probably be the director, I would think.
Could we do it by resolution?
You have to get MTS's agreement. I'm not quite sure. Somebody has to negotiate with MTS to get an extension, and then it would come into the government for approval.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, let me go back in history a little bit here. We have done extensions with MTS in the past because in some cases of some circumstances that we had years ago. So we have done year-to-year extensions. There's a couple of things, though, that have changed, or I think things that we've got to consider this time around that are a little bit different. One is that FTA requirement that talks about the sole source procurement. One of the things that is different this time around than last that we found out through the process was how the FTA views this contract. When we were doing a contract with two individuals in the past, the dollar threshold was not that high. We considered the funding to be coming from the county and therefore not a federalized contract. There's been a bit of a change in the interpretation of that at the federal level as recent as 2012 that says because federal funds are now being used for the operations, which in our case is the maintenance side of the activity, it's a federalized contract. So we've got to have in mind that how long we can extend before it gets into a sole source procurement, which is the one-year time frame. Also, as a result of the paratransit situation, we went through the audit process and said that we would only extend contracts for one year because of that situation. We didn't want to get into longer-term extensions. So that's a consideration as well, just something to bring up. I just want to add one more thing, if I may. We are also looking at the possibility of bringing in some outside assistance on some of these paths that we're looking at, because I think it's a lot of work for our department. It's a short time frame, and I think we do want to try to obtain that some expertise that can provide some additional guidance to us. It's just something that we've got to figure out financially and you know, go through that process of bringing an individual in. Scope of work, those types of things.
Mr. Chairman, for clarification, Mr. Dranzik referred to this becoming a federalized, you said a federalized contract.
Mm-hmm.
Was that due to the CMAQ Express Bus funding? Or?
No, it's the fact that we use our 5307 funds which is our formula-based grant funding, which is roughly about $20 million a year for our operations and our maintenance activity. We use that money to support the maintenance work that's done in transit, and that is, again, a determination that we learned of, which is different, obviously, than what our impression was in the past.
You learned of that in 2012, you said?
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion on this item? Supervisor Johnson.
It's a motion to receive and place on file, so this is put on the record.
Okay.
This report is put on the record.
Supervisor Johnson moves that we receive this and place on file. Would you like to take the roll on that?
Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Roma West.
Aye.
Jurczyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Bowen.
Excuse.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place item number 13 on file prevails.
So we're back to item 23?
Yes.